At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Two Out the First. It's January 29th, 2024. I'm Ryan Ballingy. Thanks for joining us for our Monday show this week. Didn't really have shows last week because, to be honest with you, I was at the PJ Merchandise show, and I'll give a little recap of that as we get going. Before we do that, I wanted to say we are presented by our friends at Swanies. Saw them at the PGA show. It's actually one of my favorite times of the PGA show is to spend 15, 20 minutes getting to hang out with the guys from Swanies, from Adam to Matt Stang to Allie, people I meet from their team as they continue to grow. They're killing it at the show. They're doing a great job with their fashion. Check them out, swanies.co. Use the promo code GolfNewsNet25 and save 25% on your first order. Just put out a new collection. It looks brilliant, beautiful. Some of the stuff I saw that's coming out in the following season is going to be awesome as well. So get hyped, get ready, and get on the Swanies train. All right. So like I said, I was at the PGA show and meeting with partners and potential partners and got lots of things going on. The TV channel is going to launch in probably... I've been telling people about 6 weeks. We're going to start with the process known as channel building this week, which is a very technical term, but basically putting together a schedule of the things that we're going to air. So as I get more information on that, I've kind of waffled on when I'm going to tell everyone in public about all of this, but hey, you listen to this show, so I want to give you a heads up about it. And it was a great week, but so much stuff happened in 5 days. It felt wild to me. That how am I going to come back on after all of that and try to figure out what to talk about is the two most important things. And I think the first thing to start off with is that we are still in flux in so many different ways here around the deal that the Saudis may or may not have with the PGA Tour, about whatever comes together with the Strategic Sports Group. And of all of those things, I would kind of like to start with who the hell is playing on LIV this year? We are, so the tournament, their first tournament is at Mayakoba. It starts February 2nd, right? So it's a Friday, Saturday, Sunday tournament. They have a few days to tell the world who's actually playing this year. And I think this has become increasingly frustrating, not only for LIV, but also for their players, because there is supposed to be a 13th team this year, right? John Rahm is getting a team. There are reports out there, I have not seen the intellectual property on this, that his team will be called Legion 13, kind of named after a Roman legion that went into Spain and basically was part of the conquering force in the height of the Roman Empire. All that historical stuff is strange enough. But anyway, he's supposed to have three other players with him, right? And I have not seen nor heard specific player announcements from LIV. Now, the rumor is out there. There are two rumors out there that I think are, well, three, I suppose, that are, that have not been, they're not unsubstantiated. I mean, I've heard these things, but that they haven't been confirmed and were, what, 3 days from a tournament? 4 days from a tournament, right? The first tournament of the year. One is Adrian Meronk has signed with LIV and will play with them this season instead of playing the PGA Tour after earning a tour card by finishing the top 10 of the Race to Dubai. Okay, I can believe that. I'd heard that rumor that he was going to go play on Martin Keimer's team. Fine. Not necessarily denigrating that, just, you know, that's kind of been out there. That's not unheard of. And then the Tyrrell Hatton was going to go sign and play with LIV this season, at least in the thinking that I think similarly to John Rahm, well, all this stuff will just get worked out really soon and everything's going to be fine, because Hatton's in the precarious position of almost certainly dropping out of the top 50 in the world if he goes and plays LIV this year. So this would be his one and only year to make a run in the majors and try to secure a place in any or all of them for 2025, presuming nothing happens. in terms of an agreement to work all of this out, either with the PGA Tour and the DP World Tour and the Strategic Sports Group, or, frankly, with the official World Golf Ranking. That could be possible, I suppose. So, we've heard those rumors out there. Then there's the rumor of Anthony Kim, that he is entertaining a comeback to the PGA Tour. And he's been negotiating with the PGA Tour about his insurance policy, that he has a $10 million insurance policy that would be voided, obviously, if he plays professional golf again. The contingency of that policy and him being able to collect from it is that he hasn't played professional golf. Well, if he does, rip that thing up. Or he could go to LIV and join their league. Maybe it's a one-year deal. Maybe it's a two-year deal. Maybe it's a deal that just covers his insurance policy, and then he can go play the events. Dylan DeCher did a great job writing about that for golf.com last week. And I suppose that can all happen, but there's no sense of how that would work out either, because according to Dylan's writing, there would be 54 players in LIV this year, so 54. Now, here's the interesting thing to me, because LIV could change format. They could have gone to 72 holes and then done LIV Golf 54, meaning 54 players, and then stuck it there, and the branding would make sense. Although at this point, they're 3 years in, you can call it whatever the hell you want. They're going to call it LIV Golf. It doesn't even have to have a meaning anymore. So from the branding part, it doesn't really matter. But they're supposed to have 54 players. 13 teams of four, if you can do quick math, that's 52 people. And then two, quote-unquote, wild cards. People who are not associated with a team. They're just invited to play, presumably. Or maybe they have a one spot, you know, a two-spotter, 18-hole event. They could do this different ways. So to me, that is a lot of doubt. And if you're a player competing on LIV, if there are suddenly 54 players competing, there's six more players. The purse is the same. Before we started recording this, I went to the LIV Golf website to see if I missed something, if they had announced something, and if they had put out their player roster for the year of the players who are going to play all 14 events, right? Nope, we don't have that. We still have the same number of players from last year, and the same, or at least the same number of teams from last year. Some players have moved on. Bernd Wiesberger's gone. The guys who got relegated are gone. And the players who got through their Q school are in, right? We still don't know how the payout's going to work. Because I did confirm they do have a tournament preview up. They say John Rahm is making his LIV debut. They don't tell you what team he's playing on. They haven't revealed that yet. And I know they at least have that information in hand. However, if you're a player who struggles on LIV, and last year you were only competing for the bottom in 48 player fields. Well, now you've got an extra six players who could beat you every week. How are they going to dilute that money now that there are six additional players? What does DFL mean on this tour? Because DFL has meant for two seasons $120,000. And if you played 12 events, that's $1.44 million. You did great by finishing last, right? Now, you may not have that. Now, last place, maybe, I'm just making this up, $100,000, $80,000. Well, if it's significant enough, let's just say it's $80,000. We'll make this a little bit simpler. That's $40,000 for less for finishing DFL. And multiply that by 12, because we have 12 individual regular season events, and then there's supposed to be a singles championship, you know, individual championship, and a team thing. Money's different, presumably, for both. But if that's $40,000 less times 12 events, that's $480,000. Well, now the floor is different. Floor is closer to $1 million, less than $1 million. That doesn't sound as attractive, because on the PGA Tour, you are guaranteed $500,000. So the gap between $1.44 million at $500,000 versus $960,000 and $500,000 is different. Just is. Now, of course, you get those other two events. You get paid for that a little bit, but money really goes to the teams in the team event. And I don't know how they'll do the individual team individual championship piece of that. They haven't explained that yet, so I can't include that. But if you're sitting there at Tyrrell Hatton, and John Rahm made this deal almost certainly thinking a deal's imminent, everything's going to work out, I'm only have to do this for 1 year, maybe two, and then I'm going to go right back on the PGA Tour. I still can play in all of the majors. My life will be slightly different for 2 years for a massive payoff. That makes a lot of sense under that guise. Tyrrell Hatton said no thanks. They came back with more money. They've apparently done this with several players because they haven't filled it all out yet. And you could still get someone like Wyndham Clark, who has shown interest in traveling around since winning the U.S. Open, to his benefit, to go play in Japan, go play the DP World Tour a little bit. He's been willing to do it. So if he's maybe got his ear toward taking the live money, maybe he's someone that's available. But then he's kind of said no. And part of me wonders if this is crazy to me, but if in a month and a half, almost 2 months, the calculus has changed again. And that is, maybe we're not near a deal. Maybe they're not really even that close to one. And if that's the case, then signing with LIV now has some different problems. More like the old problems. Different, new, slightly new, but really about the same problems. Which is, you're not going to get official world golf ranking points. There are enough players, I think, that don't really care for this, that are live players, and I get the sense of that because there seems to be an increasing frustration about a lack of communication and direction. And it feels like someone is an outsider, that live is just kind of putting this thing together almost under the same assumption that a lot of us have probably made, that they would have figured out a deal by now, and that they wouldn't have really had to do this, or if they were going to do it, they would have just played the 48-player style and gone, all right, you know, one more time. Run it back, and then we'll figure out how to integrate it. Well, if there's no deal, and let's just say that the deal with Strategic Sports Group gets done, and I'm willing to wager a fair amount of money that if it's done, it gets announced Friday, frankly, that the PGA Tour would be willing to put it out there on Friday or Thursday, I mean, maybe Wednesday if they weren't being petty, and say, hey, we've got this deal. We've got our investment with Strategic Sports Group. There is reporting out there from Sportico, which is a business, sports business publication. They're very good. That could start next week, this week now. It was last week they wrote it could start next week. Now it's next week. So if that can kick in, then, and we talked about that on this show, that is going to be the order of operations. They are going to get the deal with the Strategic Sports Group. Then they're going to go back to the Saudis and go, well, we've got all this cash from them. You want to be a part of this or not? And they're going to try to squeeze them that way. Because the Saudis tried to squeeze them by going, well, we'll just poach Rahm. We'll poach more players. We can do this. We'll force you to the table. That worked. But the tour knew the whole time that they could go negotiate this deal with Strategic Sports Group, get whatever amount of investment it is, $1 to $3 billion. I don't know the exact number. ESPN reported closer to $3 billion. Sportico's reporting closer to $1 billion. We'll see. But whatever that number is, it's a 10-figure sum, right? They can go to the Saudis and go, well, we've got all this money in hand. We know you're not going to kick in really a whole lot more than this. So we can either go to them and give them more, or you can get in on this, whatever piece you want. But here are our conditions. Here are the things that have to change. And that's it. Maybe they just go, all right, well, we're not going to have a deal. We're going to go back to the way things were. Meanwhile, LIV is 4 days away from playing their first event, and it at least seems from the outside like it's a total scramble. And even, I'll say, more neutral or pro-LIV golf accounts are kind of frustrated by it. The players who, the Twitter X folks who are pro-LIV. And they're like, well, this is a disaster. And they're right. It is. We're 4 days away from the first tournament. Imagine being 4 days away from your first tournament and not knowing everyone who's going to play. Or how many players are in the fields. Or how the wild cards get in. And who knows how much of that has been communicated to the players that start competing this week. But at least from the outside, it looks like they've just rushed to put this together and they can't get it done. At least trying to bring in more name players to round out what they have. Their big get is obviously John Rahm. If you got Adrian Meronk, huge, great player, Should have been on the Ryder Cup team, frankly, but obviously that worked out for the European Ryder Cup side. Should have been on that team. Wins frequently. Was a player of the year on that tour. And that's a coup, right? If you get him, presumably you have. If you get Hatton, but then he's filling out the Cleeks team that isn't any good anyway. Now you still got to fill out spots for Rahm's thing. Supposedly Audrey Arnaas is going to go play there, but he's listed in the field this week for the DP World Tour. Now, of course, he could withdraw, but he's on the field list. So you would presume he's in Bahrain where they're playing this week. What is going on here? It just feels like there's something very wrong is too strong a word. There's something off, and I kind of need to see what Liv frankly says about what they're going to do this year to try to understand a little bit better of reading the tea leaves. Because right now it just seems like everything's a mess. The deal that I thought was imminent, as McElroy was talking about it on that football podcast, the soccer podcast for Sky Sports, that seems distant at this point. And we've got this thing where you're like, all right, I don't know what's going to happen. And we've got a signature event this week with 42 or 43, I forget what the number is now, of the world top 50 competing at Pebble Beach. It's going to be the best field they've ever had, and it's not even close. And they're still going to have a two-round pro-am, 80 players, 80 pros. So they actually had to have a quote-unquote fill the field metric this time to make sure they got 80 players. But they have 80 players, and they're going to compete in a two-day pro-am with the AMs, which, by the way, they haven't even announced the AMs yet because they didn't know how many players they were going to, how that was all going to work out, I think, exactly. I mean, I think they knew they were going to have 80 players, but I don't think they knew exactly which 80, and they've increased the amount of money that you got to pay to be in the pro-am this year. They basically doubled it, which is insane. I mean, now it's like $70,000, $80,000 to be in the pro-am for this event, which is bananas, but people are going to pay it. So you've got this big flex tournament, finally Pebble, finally Saturday at Pebble isn't just horrific versions of amateur golf swings on 17 at one after another, after another, after another. Now it's the best players in the world playing the best property on planet Earth, probably. And that's in prime time. Well, almost prime time. That's a statement event, right? Almost seems like all of a sudden Liv's decision to try to compete with some PGA Tour events like this one are a bad idea. I find all this stuff fascinating, in part because it's people, right? At the end of the day, this is all about people making choices that affect a relatively small subset of people financially, but a whole lot of people like us who are interested in watching the game. And I, as much as I obviously want to see something end, whatever it is, work out, in the last week or two, I've been increasingly convinced that it's not going to work out. And of course, they can come out today and go, all right, we got it all worked out. And that's why we haven't figured out the rosters. Everything's fine. Maybe that's the hard deadline. And I'm just throwing that out. I didn't even pre-plan this part. Maybe the deadline, you know, one of the soft deadlines, is the start of the live season. Because if you think about it, let's just say, you know, they have Rahm play, right? They don't need to have 54 players. They can play with 52 players. They could have, instead of, you know, the divisible number of 54 makes it easy to have 18 threesomes, right? You could have a shotgun start 18 threesomes. Obviously, it doesn't work out quite as neatly math-wise with 52 players in threesomes. But you could still do that. No one's going to get mad if someone is playing a twosome. So to me, they could just say, all right, well, we wanted to have this deal done so we didn't really have to mess everything up. We could muck things around and form a 52-player roster and call it a day, or a 54-player, or at last minute shift it so Rahm just gets some kind of different equity and he's on another team and we really only have 48 players. They could do that. All of those things could still happen. All of them. Because if you look at the news that they put on their site, again, this could all be useless in 10 minutes. But if you look at this, they say the about the tournament piece. Three rounds, 54 holes of stroke play. The purse is the same. The winner's share is the same. What they haven't said is really anything about, other than John Rahm playing, what was going on. They say nine of the returning 12 teams will have at least one new player in the lineup. You're presuming there's going to be a 13th team, but they don't expressly say that here. So they could change their mind at the last minute. It's very interesting to me that all of this stuff is in flux. So I'm sure we'll find out something today or tomorrow, but that really seems to be kind of cutting it close, don't you think? I don't know. The intrigue is there, but it also, I think, tells you a whole lot about what's going on. And what's going on seems to be a whole lot of waffling. And oh, by the way, if Tyrrell Hatton wants to play LIV Golf, he signed up for TGL. He's already got a contract with TGL. He agreed to play. So how do you work out the legality of that? Which may be a hang-up here. So, I don't know. It just, we've got three golf leagues going right now. Well, like, a lot more than that. But we have three, all kind of, one doesn't even play yet. One's about to play. One is playing and just crowning random champions left, right, and center, which is fascinating to me. And there are contracts between them all. Meanwhile, Nick Dunlap turns away the whatever LIV money, because there were rumors out there they were going to go for him hard. Turns away the LIV money, signs with the PGA Tour. Tony Finau says no. Supposedly some other players have said no. Hatton might say yes, but he's got a contract with the other league that decided to not play this year because their bubble got burst, quite literally. The hot stove in this game is very interesting right now, and you're trying to read through the tea leaves of what all that hot stove stuff is and what that might mean, and it just speaks to chaos. I think really that's what it speaks to. At the end of the day, it's chaotic. And if that's the way this year is going to be, or at least the first half of this year is going to be, it's going to be a wild ride. So hopefully you enjoyed that first month of thinking, oh, all this stuff will work itself out. And then it's not. Or maybe it does. And we talk about that on Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday show. But until then, we've got a state of flux. So I want to talk about the state of flux today. Tomorrow we will get into the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am, talk a little bit about the winners of the last few weeks that we didn't really get to talk about, Nick Dunlap and Matthew Bavon, who won out of nowhere, frankly. I mean, the third, fourth, triple-digit winner on the PGA Tour so far this season, 4 out of 4. Meanwhile, the DP World Tour, that's the tour where this stuff happened last year, the second favorite, the favorite, and the second favorite won their first three events. So, very interesting time. We'll talk about that on my golf betting podcast. The press is available, will be available, recorded after the show. So, if you're into that, check that out. But we're in an interesting time here where the depth of golf is really starting to show itself. And on one hand, that's not ideal. On the other hand, that's awesome. So, we'll talk about that on tomorrow's show. Shout out to Nelly Korda for an incredible finish at the Drive On Championship. It was a wild Sunday at Bradenton Country Club. If you didn't get a chance to watch it, it's probably on replay on Golf Channel today. If you get a chance to watch it, do so. Especially the last 45 minutes. Because Lydia Ko hits this perfect shot from a hanging lie on 17. It's a par 5. Rolls up to a foot. Makes eagle. Great long two putt for par. Looks like she's going to win the golf tournament. She's 3 ahead. Nelly hits the green on 17, makes a swinging, 15-footer, probably moved about a foot, 9 inches to a foot, makes the eagle, only 2 eagles in the hole that day, those two players, on 18, hits the ball, misses the fairway, doesn't like the lie, wants a drop, can't get it, instead, hits the green, trickles out to kick in range, they go to a playoff, second playoff hole, she birdies. That's the second time in Florida in like the last 2 years that she has been looked left for dead because she played so poorly either throughout the day or one particular hole, winds up coming back in the last few holes, forces a playoff, wins the tournament. And denies, by the way, Lydia Ko not only becoming the first player since 2010 to win the first two tournaments of the year, but denies her the 27th and final point that she needs under the LPGA Hall of Fame qualifying criteria, because it's point-based. You get points for winning tournaments, you get an extra point for winning a major, you get points for winning season-long awards. Lydia Ko is at 26 points because she won the Tournament of Champions. To start the year, she could have qualified on the number yesterday, and she would be inducted in, you know, 26 years, would have made her the youngest inductee. It's practically impossible to get into the LPGA Hall of Fame on the current system of points, and it just got ripped away from her at the last minute by Nelly Korda, who picks up her ninth LPGA win, getting her a little over one-third the way to the Hall of Fame, but not quite half the way. Okay, we will be very busy this week. I'm sure we'll have lots to talk about. Thank you for listening. I appreciate it. If you have any questions, get a hold of me, ryan@thegolfnewsnet.com. I'm on Twitter, Threads, X, Instagram, and Blue Sky at Ryan Ballingy. I'm on Facebook and YouTube at Ryan Ballingy Golf. There was a clone of me that I found out about last week at the PGA show. That's been removed from X, so there's no phony Ryan Ballingy. Only bad golf takes from me and my genuine account now, so hopefully that will continue, I suppose. Back with another show tomorrow. Thanks so much for listening to Two Off the First.